Or is this one?
Ari.
If everyone could please find your seats. Agun Moed. This evening, as part of our shul's celebration of Tikkun Leil Hoshana Rabbah, where we have learning programs going on, concurrent learning programs going on as we speak throughout our entire campus. So for the adults, we have an opportunity to hear words of Torah from Rav Herschel Schachter. As I mentioned earlier today, being a father of Rabbi Shai Schachter, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to, as a shul, to benefit from his visits to the community. Really needs no introduction in terms of his role that he plays as a manhig of Torah, a leader for our community, who we turn to for guidance in all different areas. And it's a special opportunity to have him address us on this very special night. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow morning, we'll have that Piska Tova, that Guten Kvittel, and Mitzvah Shem over the Shemini Atzeres. So Mitzvah Shem, it will begin with this night of Torah learning that's being dedicated in a certain way, which hopefully will elevate our entire culmination of the celebration of Chag Sukkos. So Rabbi Shem.
Good night, everybody. In the days of the Gemara tells us that there were two minhagim, two practices, whether they completed the whole Torah, Kriyas HaTorah, in 1 year or in 3 years. In Eretz Yisrael, it was a three-year cycle. So they only made a Simchas Torah once every 3 years. And we have piyutim that they used to, sometimes they would rig it in such a way that the Simchas Torah would either fall out on Pesach, on Shavuos, or on Sukkos. So they had piyutim for the three different Yom Tovim, depending what year it was, whether Simchas Torah would be on Pesach, Shavuos, or on Sukkos. And in Bavel, the cycle was a one-year cycle. Every year they completed the entire Chumash, and they made a Siyum every year on Simchas Torah. So we're going to lane on Simchas Torah. We're going to lane B'zayis HaBrochah. So I'd like to say a little bit about Parshas B'zayis HaBrochah. The Gemara has a special din about Kriyas HaTorah, the concluding eight psukim in the Torah, starting from the Pasuk, who wrote the psukim? In Sefer Yeshua, it says something to the effect that Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. So it's unclear, did he write the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah? Because it describes the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. How can Moshe Rabbeinu write his own obituary if he didn't die yet? So that's a machlokes HaTanaim in the beginning of Bava Basra. And the Gemara talks about the whole Tanakh, who wrote the various Svarim in Tanakh. So one opinion is that the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last parsha, the Ibn Ezra and Chumash says the dispute is regarding the whole last parsha in the Torah that includes the last eight psukim. It means an additional four psukim. It's really 12 psukim. But the pasuk by Yom Shamaisha, that's the eighth pasuk before the end. So one Tana is of the opinion that it was written by Yeshua ben Nun. And the accepted opinion, a machlekes in history, the accepted opinion is that it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was dictating everything to Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he hadn't yet died. So the Gemara says, the Shemana Psukim Shabbat Torah have a special din of Kriyas HaTorah. What is a special halacha? Yochid Kari Yosam. What does it mean, Yochid Kari Yosam? So in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote all the four interpretations that are given by the Rishonim. So the simple interpretation is that you don't make any hoisafos. You have to lay it all together. If you have eight psukim, you should be able to make two aliyahs. On Simchas Torah, the meaning is that we try to give everybody an aliyah. So why not divide the eight psukim into two? So Yochid Kari Yosam means you have to read it as one aliyah. Another pshat is that unlike the rest of the Chumash, where you have an institution of a Balkore laning, and the Oil of La Torah says softly along with the Balkore, so you really have two people laning. The Balkore is laning out loud, and the Oil of La Torah is supposed to say along softly. That's how it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Shmada Pesukim Shabbat Torah, the Balkore should get the Aliyah, should be Yochid Kari Yosam. We shouldn't have two people laning. Tosis is not happy at all with that pshat. They said that whole institution that the Balkore lanes and the other Latura lanes along, that was in the days of the Gaonim. In the days of the Tanoim, in the days of the Amoraim, in the days of the Gemara, the one who got the Aliyah lane, that's many of the Svardim still have that practice. The way we get some Aliyah lanes, he doesn't always know the trumps. He makes it up as he goes along. But that's why they changed the practice. Because a lot of times they didn't know the trump and they didn't know the Ivra, so they killed their Aliyah. So rather than have people, like sometimes we have someone kills the whole Haftarah, so rather than have someone kill an Aliyah, so you have an institution of a Bakar. But in the days of the Gemara, that didn't exist. How could that be the Pshat in the Gemara? But Rav Moshe Soloveitchik used to get Chosen Torah. Usually the Rav gets Chosen Torah, we'll get to that Pshat. So he insisted that he's going to lane. He wanted to satisfy that opinion also, that the Oil of HaTorah should lane. You shouldn't have a Bakari lane with the Oil of HaTorah. The third Pshat Yochid Kari Yosem is that Yochid Ham Yuchid, that the biggest Talmid Chacham in the shul, whoever that happens to be, should get the Aliyah. Probably because Pasha Pshat is because it says that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away and Yeshua Ben Nun took over, and everybody respected Yeshua Ben Nun and followed his psukim. So a lot of times, after Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away, many people said, "Oh, Rabbi Soloveitchik passed away." Then no one to ask any shailos, so therefore they can paskin on their own because no one knows how to learn like Rabbi Soloveitchik. When Moshe Rabbeinu died, Yeshua Ben Nun didn't know how to learn as well as Moshe Rabbeinu either. The Gemara says that this Kenim Shabador, the old timers, made a comment that Pnei Moshe, Pnei Chama, Pnei Yeshua, Pnei Yeshua's Pnei Levana. They knew Moshe Rabbeinu when he was a young person, and they said Yeshua ben Nun doesn't compare to Moshe Rabbeinu when he was that age. Of course, when Moshe Rabbeinu was 120 years old, he knew much more. But even when he was Yeshua ben Nun's age, he knew much more. He was much greater than Yeshua ben Nun. And nonetheless, the Torah says that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, the people respected Yeshua ben Nun. So that's the minig, that's the din. The Gemara has Yachid Kariyasim. You give the Aliyah to the biggest Talmid Chacham in the shul to say that our Morad Asra is the Mimalei Mokam of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to respect him. We're going to follow his psukim. That's the Pasha Pshat. Then the Rambam has the wild Pshat, but the Rambam Pshat fits in best into the Gemara. The Rambam learns Pshat Yachid Kariyasim means that you don't need a minion. The Mishnah Megillah lists off all the various things that you need a minion for. If you want to say Kaddish, you have to have a minion. You can't say Kaddish softly. You have to say Kaddish out loud. You have to have a minion in the same room. Sometimes a woman is the only surviving child of her parents, so she wants to say Kaddish. So if she wants to say Kaddish, you have to say Kaddish in the same room where you have 10 men. She can't say Kaddish in the women's section. That's a different room. So you have to have a minion for Kaddish and Kedusha and from Baruch Hu for Kriyas HaTorah. So for the whole Kriyas HaTorah, you need a minion. For the Shemar Pesukim Shabbat Torah, you don't need a minion. You can lay it without a minion. So the Mefarshim asks, but how do you get to the last? What do you mean, just have one Aliyah? I mean, the shul doesn't have a minion, a little village somewhere in Timbuktu, and there's no minion there. So they take out a Sefer and they lay in Shemar Pesukim Shabbat Torah. It doesn't make any sense. You can't have Kriyas HaTorah less than three Aliyahs. That's a minimum. Even on the tainus that you're not really interested in learning, just interested in saying the Haftorah, Haftorah gives to Chacham, so you just need really one Aliyah. One tainus is of the opinion that if a tainus falls out on a day of the week other than Monday and Thursday, you always have three Aliyahs. What if there's a tainus Sibur on a Sunday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday? So one tainus says all you need to give is one Aliyah, because really all you want is to learn the Haftorah, to give to Chacham, to give Musa. But Hamafta Banabi Tzarch Shikar Batorah Tchila. The one who says Haftarah has to learn something from the Chumash. You shouldn't think that the Navi is just as important as the Chumash. You can learn Kriyas Hanaviyim without learning any Torah first. So you have to first learn Torah. So one Tana holds you only need one Aliyah. So we don't accept that opinion. Even though we're only interested in one Aliyah, the one is going to say the Haftarah. But you never have Kriyas HaTorah less than three Aliyah. So what does the Rama mean? You don't have a minion. So you're just going to lane one Aliyah. There is no such thing. One Aliyah. You're going to give one Aliyah without a minion. What does it mean? So the Rabbi asks, where did the minion disappear to? So Pasha Pshat is, the Mefarshim said, there probably was a minion. They were laning Zayis HaBracha. Everybody got an Aliyah and they walked out to make Kiddush. It happens sometimes. There's no minion left in the shul. So the Mishnah Megillah says, if you started a Dovash B'Kedusha with a minion, let's say he started Chazaras HaShatz. There was a minion at the time of when the Chazim began Chazaras HaShatz. And then people have to run to work. So a few people leave and you no longer have 10 people. So as long as I have Reif Tzibur, if you started with a Min, as long as I have Reif Tzibur left, it's okay. But if you don't have Reif Tzibur left, you only have five people left, so then you can't continue. So the Rambam learned in the Gemara over here, Yochei Kari Osam, if the minyan, you lay the whole B'zayis HaBracha, and then you get to the last Aliyah, and then the minyan left for whatever reason, maybe also they make Kiddush like by us, everybody, it's a train station, people going in, going out, and talking. So you don't have a minyan paying attention, you only have five people or less paying attention. So the last eight psukim in the Chumash don't have the din of a Davish B'Kedusha, doesn't require a minyan. So the Rambam's shot is the wildest shot in the Gemara, but it fits in better in the Gemara. The Gemara says, why should the last eight psukim have a different din? Why should it be Yachid Kari Yaisam? So according to the pshat that you give the Rav the Aliyah, because just like Yeshua ben Nun took over and the people respected Yeshua ben Nun, so the people in the shul are going to respect their local Morad Asra, like the Bnei Yisrael respected Yeshua ben Nun after the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the question? It's easy to understand why. So the Gemara asked, why should it have a special status? So if you hold that Yeshua ben Nun wrote the last eight psukim in the Chumash, then we understand it then. That is not a davish b'kedusha, you don't need a minyan. Why? So according to the Rambam, it fits in very well. If you hold Yeshua ben Nun wrote it, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was the highest level of nevuah. That's what the Gemara calls Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah is bas b'kloria ha-meira. He b'shchina medaberes mitoch grana. He was given dictation word for word, letter for letter, and he said over the direct dictation, Dvar Elokim. All the other Nevi'im didn't get direct dictation word for word. They had a chazon, a chalom, and a marah nevuah, and then they interpreted using their own lashonis. That's why the Gemara has a principle that the ein shnei Nevi'im misnabim misignarecha. If two Nevi'im are given the same prophecy, and they say word for word the same thing, there's something fishy over here. How can it be? Different people speak differently, even twins. They don't speak the same way. Each person has his own way of expressing himself. So even if two Nevi'im are given the same Marah HaNevuah, they're going to express themselves differently. So the Gemara reads well. If you hold like the Tana, the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah were written by Yeshua ben Nun, so we understand it's not a Davish B'Kedusha, you don't need a minyan. It was a lower level of Nevuah. It's not the same high level of Kriyas HaTorah like Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. But if you hold the way we accept La Halacha, that even the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah were also written by Moshe Rabbeinu, also dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter, the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dictating to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Kaisa Bedema, Moshe Rabbeinu is crying as he's writing, because he's writing about his own death. So if it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word, letter for letter, so why should it have a lower level of Kedusha? It should be the same Kriyas HaTorah as the rest of the Torah. You should require a minyan, it should be a Dovah, it should be a Kedusha. So the Gemara says no. Why? Since it's different. It's different from the rest of the Torah, because at the time Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it, it wasn't true yet. It only became true later on. Rav Soloveitchik suggested, maybe, what do you mean Moshe Rabbeinu is crying? Why? At the age of 120, he's writing about his own death. Everybody knows we're all going to die, so what is it? A cry? But he lived at the age of 120. What's so bad about that? What's he crying about? So he thought maybe he's crying because it wasn't Niskadosh yet. He was crying that the rest of the Chumash, but he wrote it at the time he wrote it, it was true already. Or the Nevuahs that are written in the future, so they're going to become true. So it was a real Nevuah. Here he's writing in past tense, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Eved Hashem, he's writing about something that didn't happen yet, and it wasn't true. So it didn't have a din of Torah until after he died. So at the time that he wrote it, it wasn't yet in his Kaddish, B'Kedusha Sefer Torah, because it's written in past tense, and it wasn't true yet. So he suggested, maybe Al-Derech HaMidrash, I don't know, he suggested, maybe that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was crying. He wasn't Mekadosh the last paragraph of the last parsha in the Torah because it wasn't true at the time that he wrote it. So I called upon him, that's the way the Rambam read the Gemara. The Gemara was pilpiling why it's not a Dovish B'Kedusha, why you don't need a minyan. But according to the other pshatim, that you don't make a Haisofer, you shouldn't have an institution of a Balkar, so why should it depend on the Machlokes HaTanoim? Whether it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, written by Yeshua ben Nun, very unclear. That's the Gemara's discussion. Last week we learned Parshas Hazina. Parshas Hazina also has a special din of Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says in the Beis Hamikdash, every day after they brought the Tamid Shel Shachat, the Kohanim poured the wine on the Mizbeach, down the pipes in the Mizbeach, and while the Kohanim were pouring the wine, the Levim was singing the Shir Shalyom. So on Sunday there's one Shir Shalyom, Monday there's another Shir Shalyom, and on Shabbos, after the Tom Shal Shachar, they sang the Shir Shalyom, is Mashal Yom HaShabbos. Then they brought Musafim of Shabbos, so the Kohanim poured the wine after the Hakrovas HaMusafim. So then they sang the Shir Shalyom was Hazino. And it took 7 weeks, it's a poem, and it took 7 weeks to learn it, because it's divided into, it took 6 weeks. It's divided into six sections. And the Gemara said, so it took 7 weeks till they finished the whole Shiras Azino. And then the Gemara says, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the same way the poem was divided in the Beis HaMikdash, that's how we should divide it in the Beis HaKnesses when we learn Kriyas HaTorah. And the Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says, is Haziv Loch. The first aliyah starts with a hey, Hazino, and the second aliyah starts with a yud, the third aliyah with a yud. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to be mafsik, you're not allowed to make hoysophis, even though there are enough psukim to make hoysophis, you're not allowed to make hoysophis there. Special din of Kriyas HaTorah. Said on Simchas Torah, also when we lay the Shemayim Psukim Shabbat Torah, the Gemara has this special din of Kriyas HaTorah. In the, towards the beginning of the Vizayis HaBracha, Moshe Rabbeinu has the famous pasuk Torah Tziva Lona Moshe Marosha Kihilas Yaakov, and the Gemara in the end of Makkos has a memra that became so famous that so much literature was written on it that the word Torah Begematria adds up to 611, Tov Vav Reish 611, and 611 mitzvahs were given through Moshe Rabbeinu, not directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu proclaimed the Aseres HaDibros, so the first two were proclaimed, spoken directly to Bnei Yisrael, Nochi Hashem Elokecho Shehotzei Sicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Li'olach Aleim Achirim Alpanai. Doesn't say Alpanov. Once you get to the third of the Aseres HaDibros, L'sis Hashem Hashem Elokecho Lashav, doesn't say L'sis Hashmi Lashav. Starting from the third on, it's Moshe Rabbeinu saying over what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. But the first two were directly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks directly to Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara has this gematria, the Torah, Tzivalon HaMoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu told us over 611 mitzvahs. And the other two mitzvahs were directly told to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how we know that there were 613 mitzvahs. And it caused such a literature. The Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and before the Rambam we have the Bahag, the Halachas Gedolos is a Sefer HaMitzvahs, and you have others, Rav Sadigoin, and others. You have Bali Atosis wrote Asharis. So many Rishonim wrote different Svarim, Sefer Yireim, Smag, and the Smag. Somebody tried to figure out which are the 613 mitzvahs. It's a big literature. The Rambam is not the first, and it was not the last. After the Rambam, the Sefer HaChinuch, many others wrote. The Ramban has a lot of disagreements with the Rambam. But the whole literature is based on that Gemara. The Vilna Gaon had a whole different approach. The Vilna Gaon had a brother of Avram. He had a son of Avram also. He had a brother of Avram who wrote a Sefer Milos HaTorah about how important it is to learn Torah. Small little Sefer. So he quotes, I don't know if this is in any other sources, slightly in other sources. He quotes there, they heard from his brother, the Vilna Gaon. He thinks that all of the Svarim are incorrect. He thinks that if you're going to count how many obligations you have to do, how many mitzvahs there are millions of mitzvahs. Every sneeze, every when you wake up in the morning, every minute, there's another mitzvah. So it cannot be that there are only 613. So he lived the same time as Dalton, who developed the theory of atoms. The atomic theory was before the days of before the 1700s also. But it was accepted when Dalton developed it in the 1700s. So just like how many elements are there? 105 or something? I forgot, I lost track already, whatever. So the building went and thought that there were 613 concepts in mitzvah. Sometimes you have a mitzvah that has 10 concepts, and another mitzvah has 13 concepts. There's a little bit of overlap. Sometimes they have one or two concepts that are connected. So he said he thinks there are 613 concepts, but originally he thought, when he developed this idea, he said he doesn't know what the 613 concepts are. And then the children of the Vilna Gaon write in the Hagdamah to the Bir HaGrua on Shulchan Aruch that towards the end of his life, he felt their father felt that he did figure out what the 613 concepts are, but he didn't write it down. He didn't write anything down. Vilna Gaon hardly wrote anything down. He wrote the Bir HaGrua on Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote the Svarim on Kabbalah. So the Talmidim wrote over. So this, they didn't write over. But that's what the children of the Gro write in the Hakadomah to the Bir Hagron Harachaim. Towards the end of his life, he figured out what he thinks the 613 concepts were. That was a big chiddush. The Pashup Shat, all of the Rishayim and all of the classical Svarim, so much literature on the Minyan HaMitzvahs, they all assume it goes that 248 mitzvahs are say, 365 mitzvahs lo sase. The Gemara doesn't seem to be talking about concepts. The Gemara talks about the obligations to do mitzvahs and mitzvahs lo sase, not allowed to do averis. The Ramban has a very strong kasha, There's one kasha, the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, and it's the Mishnah at the end of the first Perek in Chagiga. Also, it says the Gematriosa parparois la chachma. That means that we never, Gematria is not one of the Midrash HaTorah and Dreshes Bem. So you never learn out any halachas from a Gematria. Gematria is a cute parparois. It's a cute idea, but it's not, you never learn out halachas from that. The Gemara seems to learn out the din stam nazir shloshim yom. From a Gematria, it says, Kodesh Yihyeh, Gadel Peres Sarosha, Yihyeh B'Gematria is 30. So the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos on that Mishnah in the first Perek Hanoze, he doesn't think that that's the Iker. The real reason is that it's Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that it's 30 days. It's not learned out. Not learned out from the Gematria. One Tana is of the opinion that the Lamed Tes Ovis Malacha said the number is 39 is based on a Gematria. Dvarim HaDvarim Eile HaDvarim. So the Pirush HaMishnayos says also that's only it was intended as an Asmachta. That you never learn out any halachas from any gematria. So how come over here? What's over here? What is the whole concept? What's the relevance of a mitzvah? What's the difference? But it is counted in the minyan mitzvah, not counted in. Also unclear. What's the difference? Whether something does count as a mitzvah, doesn't count. Sometimes it's a shaila. Is it a din l'doros? Is it only a harua shah? So that's a major difference. If it's only harua shah, it doesn't apply bizman hazeh. It only applied the bizman amidbar. Okay. So that's why you're not counting it. But if it is a din that applies today, just that officially it doesn't count as a mitzvah, so the mind of Kamina, whether it does count as a mitzvah, doesn't count as a mitzvah. Very unclear. A lot has been written, but nobody figured out what the answer is to that question. Anyway, but that's the basis of the whole idea of Taryag mitzvah. It's based on the Gematria Torah, Tziva Lona Moshe, Torah Gematria 611, and the Ramban and his Hasogas on the Sefer Mitzvahs L'Ram, Ramban has a lot. Very fascinating. Ramban on the Sefer Mitzvahs, very, very rich and very fascinating. So he has a lot to say. Ramban always has a lot to say. Ramban is one of Rabbi Soloveitchik's favorite Rishonim. Figuring out a Malchamas by the Ramban is like climbing Mount Everest by him. He would spend a whole week, he would spend 2-3 days on a Malchamas to figure out every line. Every proof and every idea, what's he driving on? Ramban HaChumash also very rich. The Ramban has here over on this Gemara, he has a murderous kasha. He doesn't really give an answer. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Rambam and the Ramban both count as a mitzvah. Lo yeh lochalim achayim al panai contains four mitzvahs. Lasas lochapes lochol tmon lo shtach balayim v'lo yisa avdim. And lo yeh locha. So yeh locha means you shouldn't believe that any other deity has power. So there are four mitzvahs, and that Aseres HaDibrais doesn't mean that there are only 10 mitzvahs there. The second of the has four mitzvahs in the one dibur. It's not the 10 commandments. Aseres HaDibrais are 10 mamarim. The second mamar happens to have four mitzvahs in it. So how does the Gemara say that? Ramban Estekashi doesn't really give an answer. He lies by Akasha. The pasuk, that pasuk continues, Torah Tzivalon, Moshem by Rosha, Kehilas Yaakov. What is Marosha? We're used to the word Yerusha. Yerusha means an inheritance. What does Marosha mean? So I remember Rav Gifta was once explaining that in English there are two words. There's an inheritance and there's a heritage. An inheritance means my father was a rich man, I had a rich uncle and left me $1 million and I can do whatever I want. I can burn the money, I can give it away, I can gamble it away, I can do whatever I want. Heritage means something that you got that was transmitted from earlier generations and it's your responsibility to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. That's a heritage, marosha. In Hebrew, that's what a marosha means. The only other place where the word marosha appears in the Chumash is in connection with Eretz Yisrael. Ani Hashem. So the Gemara says, by when the Bnei Slavchad asked the Shaila whether they get Yerusha, so the Gemara interprets in Perek Yeshnechel, what was the suffix that they raised? So the Gemara said, the suffix was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avram Avinu, Kum Misalach Barth Orko Lerochbo Ki Lecho Etineno, how do you translate Lecho Etineno? I'm giving it to you right now. When you walk around the borders, you acquire ownership of Eretz Yisrael right now. Lecho Etineno was a promise that will be fulfilled in the distant future when Yeshua Ben Nun will conquer Eretz Yisrael, then it will belong to the Jewish people. So the Gemara interprets that was the suffix that they asked Moshe Rabbeinu. Are they entitled to the Pishnaim because their father Slavchad was a b'chor to his father Chefer. And the b'chor only gets Pishnaim b'muchzuk, whatever the father already had. What the father had? He had Bizas Mitzrayim, Bizas Hayam, had a little bit. He had a sukkah. Okay. What they have? Pajamas. What they have? Didn't have so much. They were traveling on the Midbar for 40 years. They didn't have so much. But if Eretz Yisrael already belonged to Avraham Avinu from the days that he walked around the borders, then it's a big chunk of real estate. So it already belonged to Chefer, and Slavchad is entitled to Pishnaim. The Gemara says that was the Shaila. So the Gemara says that when Moshe Rabbeinu said over the Nevuah to Bnei Yisrael, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm not sure myself, when I delivered that Nevuah, I'm not sure what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu mean when he said Mor Rasha. Did he mean it's a Yerushahim Yavisim and Moshe Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu acquired ownership already. And that was what the Rabbi Shalom told him. Yes, Avram Avinu was Koina Eretz Yisrael from the time that he walked around the borders. That constituted the Kinyan Chazaka. Or perhaps Morasha means that it's a promise that will be fulfilled in the distant future. So the Maisa, what does the word Morasha mean? It does mean Yerusha. So why does it use the term Morasha? The answer to Eretz Yisrael is our heritage. We have to, you're not allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael. You have to see to it that you transmit Eretz Yisrael, whatever you have in its entirety, to the next generation. There was a Knesia Hagdoila, the Agudas Yisrael, had a meeting in 1937. Every couple of years they have a big Knesia Hagdoila, international convention. So they had big Gdoilim. So at that time they were discussing, the United Nations was discussing a partition plan about dividing Palestine, giving half to the Arabs, half to the Jews. So they have the records of the drushes that were delivered by the Gedolei HaTorah at that time. So many were opposed to the partition plan. What do you mean? You're going to sign on a dotted line that you're giving away half of Palestine to the Arabs? You're not allowed to give away anything. It's a morasha, it's a heritage. And the others said, what do you mean we're giving away? We don't have anything. We're starting on a dotted line. We're taking the half that they'll be nice enough to give us, and the other half will come sometime later. After the Mechemet Sheshet Taimim, and the rest we'll get later. We'll get the rest. We're not giving anything away. That was the Machlekes at that time, but they all agreed you're not allowed to give away Eretz Yisrael. The Sifrei has a comment on the passing Me'ono Elokei Kedem, Mitachas Ro'es Olam. So the Sifrei tells that at one point in history there was a Suffolk, half of the Sifrei Torah in the world were written Me'ono, with a hay at the end, and half written Ma'on, Elokei Kedem. There was a question, what is the correct Nusach in the Chumash? Is the word supposed to end with a hay or without a hay? So the Sifrei says, at that time there were three Sfarim in the Azorah. Two of the three said Ma'ona, and one said Ma'on. And the Chachamim followed the Rov, Ubitlos HaEchod Nepnei HaShnaim, because it was 2-1. So they decided the correct reading should be Ma'ona, and they said everybody has to write. The correct reading should be Ma'ona, not Ma'on. So Rav Soloveitchik made his comment, why did they only check the three Svarim that happened to be in the Azar? They should have checked all the Sifrei Torah in the world and followed the Rov. What is the Rov of all the Sifrei Torah? Is you should follow the Rov. Is it Ma'ona, Ma'ona? So he said, apparently the Sefer Azar has a special status. Rashi in the first parak in Bava Basra writes that Sefer HaZorah had to be used for Hakel. That's what it sounds in Parshas Vayelech. The afterlane, Moshe Rabbeinu completes writing the Sefer Torah before he dies. He gives it to the Kohen. And then the next pasuk says, every 7 years you have to gather together and lein Hakel. It sounds a little bit from the Chumash like that. Then Tosis adds on to the Rashi, that according to Rashi, it would appear perhaps that the Kohen Gadol's Aliyah and Yom Kippur is a din deraisa. The Gemara learns it out from Pesukim. The Kohen Gadol has to get an Aliyah on Yom Kippur, and he has to, usually all year long, when a person gets an aliyah, so if he doesn't know how to say the brachas in Hebrew, he can say it in translation. So the Mishnah says, on these two occasions, by Hakel, once every 7 years, and Chol HaMoed Sukkos, following Shnas HaShmita, and the Kongadol and Yom Kippur, that's a special Kriyas HaTorah Deraisa, the brachas have to be recited in the original Hebrew. Special din deraisa. So Tosa says, they added on to Rashi, that from Rashi it would appear, not only do you need a Sefer Azorah for Kriyas Hakel, you need a Sefer Azorah for the Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippurim as well. So Rav Soloveitchik said, from this Sifrei would appear that the Sefer Azorah has a special status, and this really Kemat Beferish appears in the Yalkut Shemoni. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu give the Sefer Torah to the Kohanim and tell them they should put it next to the, either in the Oren on a shelf outside of the Oren? Gemara is not sure where the Sefer was placed. The Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu completed writing the day that he died. So what was the role of the Sefer Azorah? So Moshe Rabbeinu said he's concerned that in the future there may be misrepresentations as far as the text of the Chumash, and he wants this to be the official text of the Chumash. Whenever there'll be a Sufik, you have to look in the Sefer Azorah. And then the Rambam writes in Sefer Torah, Rambam quotes a Tosefta, the Melech has a mitzvah, every Jew has an obligation to write a Sefer Torah sometime in his life. In Europe, most people can't afford that, to write your own Sefer Torah costs a fortune of money. So in Europe, what they used to do was every 50 years, everyone would chip in the community, they would commission a Sefer to write a Sefer Torah. And they were working on the assumption that you can be mekayem the mitzvah of ksiva Sefer Torah b'shutfus. The Gemara says in Chulin that the rule is whenever the mitzvah appears in Chumash in the plural, then it can be fulfilled in shutfus, and whenever it appears in the singular, it cannot be fulfilled in shutfus. Here the pasuk says, kisvu lachem, es hashir hazos. That's the marker for the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. So many poskim are of the opinion that since it's written in the plural, kis v'lachem, so the mitzvah can be fulfilled b'shutfus. So the whole community would chip in. Everybody would give $1, $2, whatever, $10, I don't know. And the Sefer would write the Sefer Torah commissioned by everybody. So everybody during their lifetime would participate b'shutfus in ksiva Sefer Torah. But the Melech has an obligation to write an additional Sefer Torah. Mishnah Terezos, Mishnah Miloshim, Sefer Torah Sheni, the Gemara explains. And then the Raman quotes of Tosefta, not quoted by the Gemara, the Raman quotes of Tosefta, the Sefer Torah Shemelech has to be copied from the Sefer Azorah. So if you copy a Sefer Torah from the Sefer Azorah, so it also apparently acquires the special status of a Sefer Azorah. So apparently the Sifrei is of the opinion that only the three Sfarim that happened to be in the Azorah at that time, I mean, they were Mesupik, what the correct reading is, whether the word should be Ma'ona or Ma'on, and they decided the two out of three Sifrei Torah said Ma'ona, they only considered the Sifrei Azorah because the role of the Sefer Azorah is to preserve the correct Nusach, the correct text of the Sefer Torah. So they only considered those that happened to be in the Azorah. U'lelevi amo tomecho berecho lish chasidecho, and the pasuk says of Rischa Yinsoru. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, what does it mean of Rischa Yinsoru? All the 40 years that Bnei Yisrael were traveling in the Midbar, the weather conditions were such that there was a slight suffix sakana if you'll perform bris milo. So there was a question. The Gemara says that the klal is, when it comes to suffix sakonas nefashis, you have no right to go basarayv. Let's say a person is so sick on Shabbos, he's mamsh half dead. It looks like even if he'll drive him to the hospital, he's going to die anyway. You have to be mechal Shabbos because there's a slight chance that you may save his life. Or let's say a person is sick, but we think he's probably going to survive. The odds are he's going to survive till after Shabbos. Why should it be Mechal Shabbos take him now? He can take him after Shabbos also. But if there's a slight chance that maybe by taking him on Shabbos to save his life, then you have to be Mechal Shabbos, even though the odds are against it. Even though the odds are 9 to 1, or 25 to 1, or 50 to 1. That the guy's going to die anyway, the guy's going to live anyway, so the din still is that the suffix bikoch nefesh is derech Shabbos. So if a person has an ingrown toenail, every so often, Mr. Me, read in the newspaper, someone died from an ingrown toenail. So a person has pain from an ingrown toenail on Shabbos, you drive to the hospital to be mchal Shabbos. So what's the rule? What's the rule? The Maram Shik writes, even echad mini elef alfei alofim, a suffix akonas nefashis. What's the rule? So Reb Chaim Oizer has a tshuva. He quotes all the many classical poskim who say that if it's a far-fetched suffix, nowhere near 50-50, it all depends on the choyle himself, whether he personally is nervous. If he's nervous about it, then it's called the suffix sakana. If he personally is not nervous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. So what do you do if the patient is a young child? The patient is only 8 days old. So the weather conditions were such when they were traveling in the midbar that there was a slight suffix sakana in performing the bris milah. So the baby can't express his opinion whether he's nervous or he's not nervous. So who's to decide? So the Malamed Lohoyel has a tshuva about this. He says, the doctors have to act b'shei b'altasa. Whenever it's a little baby and the patient can't make the decision, so the one who's in charge of taking care of the baby, the parents have no right to make the decision. The doctors shouldn't do anything because they may hasten his death, to enter into a dangerous procedure. So the Pashtus in the Gemara is not like the Malam Lahal. Pashtus is that that's what happened in the Midbar. So the parents who are in charge of the well-being of their children had to make a decision. So all the other Shvatim, aside from Shevet Levi, they all decided not to perform the Bris Milah. And Shevet Levi decided they are going to perform the Bris Milah. So they had a rabbi there, they had an Orthodox rabbi, Moshe Rabbeinu. So why don't they ask him what he has to say? The answer is, the rabbi knows that there's a slight suffix sakana, and that's the din. It depends on the patient. If the patient is 8 days old, he can't make a decision. It depends on the patient's parents. It depends on the people who are in charge of taking care of his health. So they have to make the decision. That's the poshe pshat in this pasuk of Rizchi and Sarah. Whenever there's such a suffix sakana, the decision has to be made. If it's nowhere near 50-50, the decision has to be made by the patient or by the one in charge of taking care of the welfare of the patient. This Sfarno in his commentary on Chumash has a beautiful comment on the Zos HaBracha. Where does the bracha begin? So Moshe Rabbeinu first says, Hashem Sina Bar Zaruch Mesealam Hafim Harpon, and talking to, that's not a bracha. We usually assume the Reuven Omar. It starts with Reuven. So the Sfarno has a whole interpretation. He says that bracha is only when you talk b'loshen noichach. If you say b'loshen nista, that's a tefillah. Hashem should take care of Shevet Reuven. That's a tefillah. Bracha is when he says, you should be gebenched. So he claims, that Sfarno claims, that bracha is only the last pasuk. Barzal anachosh is min alechoch yamecho davecha. That's the only pasuk that's a bracha. Everything else is all tefillah. That's a chiddush, but it's Kedai to take a look in this Sfarno. So, but before you get to that, what's Hashem Mesinai Bar V'Zarach Mesealam, and what is this all about? You see that the Derech Eretz dictates whenever you want to give a bracha to a bas of Adam, you should really introduce it with Dibrei Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Nesiv quotes this in the Shiurim on the Gemara in the Meraim Nesoda that contained the Shiurim that he gave when he was in Valozhin. So he comments on the Gemara Megillah. The Gemara says that there were different Tanoim and Amoraim who lived to a ripe old age. And the Talmidim asked each one of them, "Bamehar achta yomim, what do you attribute your long life to? What midas chasidus did you do that you think that you were zeichet to a long life?" So one says he was always careful about saying kiddush over wine, whatever. Each one said a different thing. And one of them was a kohen, so he says he was always careful to say the bracha before he would do Hanshek Hashanah, because also Shalavitz, Ivan al-Barach, Hazam Yisrael be Ahava. So the Meiri asks on that Gemara, what's the Chiddush? Isn't that the din? Kol HaMitzvah's Kulam, Avarach Aleim, Avala Siyasim. When you're about to perform a mitzvah, you have to recite Hanshek Hashanah be Mitzvah itself. And if you're a Kohen, and you're doing a Kohuna mitzvah, you're reading Truma, or you're doing Zrikas Hadam, or Halochas Hadam, you have to say Hanshek Hashanah be Kedushas Shalaharan. So what's the chiddush that the Kohanim say the bracha? So the Netziv has the fantastic shtikol Torah. Rav Soloveitchik used to say it over every couple of years in the Shir. He says the Netzivus has part of this, that whenever the mitzvah, the Netzivus gives the following mashal. Let's say a person drinks a cup of coffee. He says shahakol niyeh bedvara. So that's a mitzvah in the Rabban to say shahakol. So why don't you say a bracha before you say shahakol? Or before you say Kiddush, you say Shekirjan Zvana Lekadeshes HaShabbos, and then you should say Kiddush. So the answer is, whenever the mitzvah is being fulfilled in the form of a bracha, the Chachamim didn't introduce an additional bracha. So that's klal number one. Then klal number two, that's what the Netziv Hatzan, and the Netziv Hatzan with Rayas, even if the mitzvah is not fulfilled in the form of a bracha, but it's fulfilled within the framework of brachas. So the Nesivis has this in his Haggadah, in the Ma'aseh Nisim Haggadah, in the Hakdamah. So he says, the Tzipitz Yes Mitzrayim is fulfilled within the framework of four brachas halakos. He said, Kiddush HaShel Ge'olona, Birchas HaMazon, and Birchas HaShir. And in between, you have sections about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the Rishayim may raise a question, how come there's no bracha, Shekadosham Sasson al-Sapa, Yitzias Mitzrayim, on Pesach night, before you do Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the Nesivis answers, since the halacha requires, the way the Chachamim set it up, that you fulfill the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim within the framework of bracha salakos, so there's no need for an additional bracha. So the Netziv brings more rise to that Yisoid. And then he says he thinks that's the reason why Me'ikar Adin, when the Koyen Duchens, it's in the middle of Hazaras HaShatz. Kach Tikna Chachamim. The Duchening should take place in the middle of Hazaras HaShatz. And Me'ikar Adin, there's no need to recite a Birchas HaMitzvah. So this was a voluntary Chiddush that Tana did. He always volunteered a bracha before he would Duchen. So Hayitochen, isn't it a bracha l'matola? If the Chacham would ever misaken a bracha, so why did he say a bracha? So he said, it's based on this passage in the Zohar. The Zohar says, whenever you want to give a bracha to a boss of a dom, the Acharitz dictates, you have to first give a divrei shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you learn it not from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu first says, Hashem Misin Abba, he praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he gives, v'zayis ha-bracha she'er baruch Moshe is v'nei Yisra. So that's what the Paschim say, that some people are stingy, they only give a bracha to their children Erev Yom Kippur. Some people are more benevolent, so they give every Friday night. I'm from the stingy people. So I only give my children a bracha on Erev Yom Kippur. So before you say the bracha, you should say a pasuk atu, divrei shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the acheretz to say a bracha to Abbas of Adam before saying a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I remember once there was a group of Balabatim in Washington Heights. They used to learn together once a week Masech HaShabbos. Masech HaShabbos takes forever to finish. It took them over 10 years, way over 10 years, to make a siyum. So then they threw a big party with champagne. And then everybody washed. They invited me to come. I wasn't learning with them, but they invited me to come. So then somebody said, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. And he said, Bar Pi Agofen. So there was one of the older Rabbanim was there. So Rabbi Glucksman, Zohan Lebrachim, was there. So he told him, you're not allowed to do that. So L'chaim is a bracha to a boss of a dom. First you have to say the bracha to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Bar Pi Agofen, and then you say L'chaim. So the next one said, okay. He says, Bar Pi Agofen, L'chaim, L'chaim, L'chaim. Then he takes a sip. So the Rav had charata that he said it in the first place. He said, no. You say first Bar Pi Agofen, you take a sip. And after you take a sip, then you say L'chaim. That's what the Achrayim, the Poskim, have this. The Kaf HaChaim quotes this from the Kabbalim, that you shouldn't say first L'chaim and then say the Bar Pi Agofen. First say the bracha to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you take a sip, and then you say L'chaim is the bracha to the boss of Adam. The pasuk by the bracha for Shevet Levi, so the pasuk says, Asimak Torah bi'apech v'chalila mizbechecha baruch Hashem cheiloi. So the Gemara understands the pasuk to mean that when the Kohanim are makta diktoris, that's a zgula for Ashiris. Baruch Hashem Chelo, they're going to strike it rich in the schus of haktoris haktoris. So the Gemara explains that the Mishnah in Yuma says they used to have payosis. They used to have a sort of a lottery to determine who has the right. The Mishnah in Toman has mishoichet, who has the right to shech the carbon, who has the right to be mekabel adam, who has the right to be moilach the dam, to be zorik the dam, to be makta the emurim, to do this. Every avodah they had a pious. So then they used to announce, there were four payoses every day, even on Yom Kippur, we assume. The Kohen Gadol had to do everything, but there were four payoses even on Yom Kippur. So one of the payoses of all year long, on Yom Kippur not, one of the payoses all year long was, mi makta k'toris. So when they had that lottery, mi makta k'toris, they went on, chadashim l'k'toris bo'u hafisa, whoever didn't yet have a chance in his lifetime to be makdek Torres should join in the lottery. Why chadoshim l'ktoris? Because they want to spread the wealth. Since haktoris is his gula of Arshiris, it's not fair that the same person should get twice in his lifetime and others never get a chance at all. So whoever once had a chance previously to be makdek Torres wasn't allowed to join the lottery. So this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Bris Milah, that somehow in the early generations they assumed that Santikos is a school for Ashiris. The Vilna Gaon writes in his commentary, he was a tzaddik many times and he never got rich. So he questions this statement. In the Chassidish Swarm, they say, no, Ashiris depends, each person has a different understanding of Ashiris. For a businessman, Ashiris means rich. And for one who's interested in learning, Ashiris means wealth and learning. So the Vilna Gaon had Ashiris and learning. I remember once Rabbi Soloveitchik was giving shir on this. So he said the same thing. I was a tzaddik many times, and I never got rich. So Rabbi Herschel Shecht, the Zichron Lebrach, used to come to the shurim at that time. He used to sit next to me. It was a little confusing. He was my father's age. He was the one, he was a chaplain in the Second World War. So Rabbi Soloveitchik made that comment. He was a tzaddik many times. He never got rich. So he screamed that out. The shir then was in English already. So Rabbi Shecht screamed out, "He steht in the Heilige Svarim." That it means Ashiris for each person. So Ashiris and wealth and Torah, you have Ashiris. You're rich in learning. But that's the meaning, that because Sandikos, we assume for some reason or another, based on Midrashim, is like Haktoris, it's a school of Ashiris. So you should not be Mechabed the Rav two times in a row on a second boy. If you're Mechabed the Rav once, you should be Mechabed someone else the second time to spread the wealth, just like in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a question, what if it's a grandfather? What if someone had a son, and he was mechabed his father to be sandik, then he has another son. Is there anything wrong if he's mechabed the grandfather a second time? So there was a great goyin in Reisha, the Rav in Reisha. Baron Levine was killed in the middle of the war, was killed by the Nazis. So he wrote beautiful svarim. So he wrote svarim on Chumash, called Hadrash V'Hayyun. So on Bereshis, he has Kamen Moche ben Menashe, you'll do al Birke Yosef. So the Targum Yonasan ben Enzil says, is Gizoru, that they had Yosef served as the Sandik for all the Bnei Moche ben Menashe, for all of the children. You're not supposed to be Mechabed the Rav twice. So he says, you see that the grandfather is not the same story. A grandfather, that's a natural. He has the schus to be the son. The Rav, he should only be Mechabed him once. But the grandfather, he thinks that that's okay. Different minhag. Different minhagim. The Gemara has another level of interpretation on that pasuk. Baruch Hashem Chelo. Simuk Tor Be'apel V'chol Al Mizbechecha Baruch Hashem Chelo. So the pasuk pshat is, and in the schus of Haktoras Haktoras, the kohen who did the Haktoras will strike it rich. Baruch Hashem Chelo. The Gemara has an additional level of interpretation that is relevant to Halacha L'maaseh, that a cholol who is makriv a korban, let's say a kohen turned out to be a Ben Grusha. He's a Chalal. He's a Chalal means empty it out, like Halal, empty vacuum, empty, no Kedusha's Kuna at all. If the Kohen marries a Grusha, so the children are permitted to marry Grushas, and they don't get the first Aliyah, and they can go to the cemetery, they're not Kohanim at all. They're emptied out from Kedusha's Kuna. So if the Chalal is Makar of a Korban Shach, you say it's possible by the Evan. A Balmum is a Kohen. A Kohen Balmum is just, he's not allowed to be Makar of Karbanis. But he is a Kohen. The question whether he has a right to get the first Aliyah or not. But he is a Kohen and can't marry a Grusha and can't be Metamei LeMeisim. So the din is punkt verkehrt from what we would have thought. So the din is that a Balmusha Avad B'Yevin Avedosa P'sula, even though he is a Kohen. And the Cholol Shavad B'Yevin is Avedosa K'sheira. So the Cholol Shavad is learned out from this Pasuk Baruch Hashem Chela Afil Chalolim Shebo. That's an additional level of interpretation. The Peshuta Shal Mikra doesn't mean that. Pshuto Shemikra means Baruch Hashem Chelo, that the Kohen who will be Zoicha to be Makta the Teres, they'll serve as Gula Farshiris. But this is an additional level of interpretation that the Torah Shabbal Peh added on. Have a lot of times like that. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Tehillim. Achaz Dibel Kim Shtaim Zu Shamaiti. In any given Pasuk, you have more than one level of interpretation. We have Goyish novels, where the author will tell you that he had three intentions. He had Pshuto Shel book, then he had two hidden intentions in writing the book. So you have in Chumash, you have a lot of psukim like that. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that he wrote it in such a way that it should have Pshuto Shel Mikra is true, and the additional levels of interpretation are also true. That's what the Ramban points out in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He has a comment. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos that one of the Amoraim learned in the yeshiva for 17 years, and he never knew that Ein Amiki Yotze Medei Pshuta. He thought only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Pe'ah are true, He thought you ignored the Pshuta Shel Mikra until after 17 years learning in the yeshiva. Then the Rebbe said, and Amikra Yotz Mitei Pshuta, Pshuta Shel Mikra is also binding. But the Chazal never said, hey, my Mikra Ela Pshuta. That's not true. Hey, my Mikra Ela Pshuta, only Pshuta Shel Mikra. The drushas are certainly true. For 17 years, he didn't know that the Pshuta was binding. He thought only the drushas are binding. Then after 17 years, the Rebbe told him that the Pshuta Shel Mikra is also binding. Common practice is that when one fills out a ksuba, let's say someone gets married in Chodesh Tishrei, so you write the date and the month, L'Chodesh Tishrei, you use the word Chodesh. And one gets divorced, you write L'Yerech Tishrei. Doesn't make a difference, strictly speaking, but that's the minig. And again, you write L'Yerech, because the Pasuk says in Mezayis HaBracha, Meged Gerish Yerachim. So it says, Gerish Yerachim, that's not what it means. It's an asmachta. Gerish, you use the word Yerach with respect to Gerishin. But when it talks about getting married, it says, Kikachish Isha Chadosha. So you use the word Chodesh in a ksuba, and you use the word Yerach in a get. Some people don't know that. So they write wedding invitations, and they write Yerach. What do you mean? They're not getting divorced, they're getting married. It's a very old meaning that you write Yerech in a get, and you write Chodesh in a ksuba. The Parsha speaks about Yisarchan's woolen together, and the Gemara explains that they made a shutfis between the two of them, that Smach's woolen b'tzeisecha, the Yisachar ba'oi halecha, Yisachar satni, he learned, Pesukim d'Rayam say, B'nei Yisachar yadei bino li'itim, they were members of the Sanhedrin, and they used to be involved in Kiddush HaChodesh and Nibra HaShana. They had been le'itim, to be kaveh when is Rosh Chodesh and when is Hashanah Be'uberes. And they used to divide their parnasa equally. Zvulun used to make all the money, and he would give half of his money to Yisachar, who was sitting and learning. Not that he gave him... He made $100,000 a year, and he gave Yisachar $10,000 a year. No, he gave him $50,000 a year. They split 50-50. So they have, from different generations, they have the different texts of this agreement that different people made in different generations. Yisachar's woolen agreement, that one is going to go to business and fund the other one, and then they'll divide the Schar and Olam Habo between the two of them. The Gemara comments on the pasuk Vahi Bishur Melech. Our practice is, the Gemara has that you need 10 psukim for Malchus, 10 psukim for Zechariah, 10 psukim for Shofaris. So we have 3 psukim from Chumash, 3 psukim from Ksuvim, 3 psukim from Nevim, and then you conclude with a pasuk from Torah. So there aren't so many psukim in the Chumash that say Hashem Yimlach Liyana Vuad. That's one pasuk, Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Vim Ksuvim you can find a lot, but in the Chumash there are hardly any psukim. The Gemara says one of the psukim is Vayi Bishur Melech B'Sasev Rosh Hayom. Some of Rosh Man the Chumash say it goes on Moshe Rabbeinu was the Melech, but maybe that's one level of interpretation. But the Gemara says you can use that pasuk Vayi Bishur Melech as referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu being the Melech. There aren't 4 psukim in Chumash. This is one of the 4. And then the 4th one is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It doesn't say the word Melech there, but still, that's the meaning. Hashem Elokeinu now, Hashem Echad, Lo Asi Lo, Hashem will be accepted by all the nations of the world. So that's the 4th pasuk. So using 2 psukim that are really, 2 out of the 4 are really mechudesh dik, that they should count at all. Svunei t'munei chol. Rashi and the Chumash quotes in the Medrash that that's a reference to the chalazon that's found in the hides in the sand. It's a shelled worm. Fish, I don't think fish hide in the sand. These, what do they call it, a mollusk. These shelled worms, they hide in the sand sometimes. So that's a reference to the trelis. You see that it's not a normal fish. It's a different kind of a fish. The pasuk says about Shevet Levi, Yorim Mishpatecha L'Yankif, that Shevet Levi has the responsibility. Every Shevet has a different responsibility. Shevet Levi is supposed to be sitting and learning and paskening the Shailas. And whenever you have 2 candidates, the Rambam quotes this halacha, that whenever you have two candidates who are equally learned for a position in the Bezna Gotler, in any Bezn, they should always appoint a Kohen or a Levi. Why? Because that's the responsibility of Shevet Levi. They're supposed to be sitting and learning and paskening the Shalas. So that's based on the Pasuk, Yoram Mishpatach Le'Yankiv, Mesei Roscha Le'Yisrael, the Soloveitchik family, we all know we're Levim. So they try to fulfill their din. The Gemara in the end, the Makkas, has a famous din, that Nidu Yal Tanai, Tzorech HaTorah, that when Yehuda was begging his father, let me take Binyamin with us. If you don't take Binyamin with us, we're all going to die. So he said, Anochi Ervenam, Yori Tevakshenim, Lo Havi Yosef Elecha, V'chatosi Liyovi Kol HaYomim. So the Gemara, Kol HaYomim Kol is, to be marbe lo'elam abo. He put himself in Nidu, bo'elam hazeh, bo'elam abo. So Moshe Rabbeinu, but he did bring back Binyamin. He brought back Binyamin to the father. Nothing happened to Binyamin. So the Nidu should not have been chas. The Gemara said, it doesn't matter. And so the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, Shema Hashem kol Yehuda v'alama teviyenu yodav rav loy, he was being mata the nidui that Yehuda was mekabel on himself. The Gemara has an agarata that the whole 40 years that they were traveling in the Midbar, the bones of Yehuda were shaking in his aron until Moshe Rabbeinu was mata the nidui, because he was mekabel nidui on himself. The Mishkan was, the Beis HaMikdash was built Bechelka Shel Binyamin. The Midrashim discuss why was that so? Why was the Mishkan, why was the Beis HaMikdash built? Yerushalayim is divided in half. Half belonged to Shevet Yehuda, half belonged to Shevet Binyamin. And the Mizbeach was Bechelka Shel Binyamin. And the border crossed over part of the Mizbeach. So the Gemara said there wasn't a Yisoid on this side of the Mizbeach. The eastern, southern side, there wasn't a Yisoid. There's only a Yisoid on this part, the western side and the northern side, and an Amma here and Amma here. And the rest of the 32 Ammas, 31 Ammas was missing, and 31 Ammas over here was missing, because that was Bechelka Shel Yehuda. Can't have any part of them, even an inch of the Mizbeach, cannot be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. The Maharsha has in the Chidush Agoda, in the Gemara in Zvachim, when the Gemara quotes this, that Yehuda is supposed to have malchus, and we want to have a separation between church and state. We don't want the government to control the religion. That's where Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't agree to become the chief rabbi. He said, the government controls the chief rabbinate. So, what kind of chief rabbinate is it? They don't let you say what you want to say. So he didn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what the din is. Even an inch of the Mizbeach may not be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. Bechelka Shel Yehuda is for the government offices. It has to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So that's Yedid Hashem, Ishkon Lovet HaChalov, Chof Vola Kol HaYomik, Seif of Shochin. It's based on Birchas Yaakov, based on Birchas Moshe, that the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach has to be Bechelka Shel Binyamin. So the Gemara says that when David HaMelech wanted very much to build the Beis HaMikdash, he made all the preparations whenever he went to battle, so when he would be victorious, he would take all of the precious metals and be Magdashit, the silver, the copper, the gold, and everything. We magdash it for the purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash. And then he was holding, they had to determine where they're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And Otat is holding by building. Then the Navi tells him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow you to build the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash has to be a Makam Shalom. When Asati Shalom, a Makam Azeh. And you were a Dam Rav Shafachta. You killed a lot of people. He killed the Palestinian terrorist. He killed the Plishtim. He did a big mitzvah, but sof kol sof, he killed a lot of people. So the Nabi said, you can't build the Beis HaMikdash. You're going to have a son, Shlomo, he's going to be Nish Shalom. His name means Shalom. And he's going to have the right to build the Beis HaMikdash. But David HaMelech had to determine where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. He did everything except for the actual building. So he thought that you should build the Beis HaMikdash in the highest location in Eretz Yisrael, above sea level. So the Gemara says that that's Ein Itim. So he thought that the proper location should be to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itim. And then he consulted with the Navi, God HaChayzeh. So the Navi God told him, no, it says the bank safe of Shochein, you have to a little lower. So the Beis HaMikdash should be built in Yerushalayim, not in Ein Itim. So the Gemara says they knew that Ein Itim was a higher location above sea level than Yerushalayim. So how did the Gemara say the Yerushalayim, Gevayim HaKol Eretz Yisrael? Gemara says, Eretz Yisrael Gebaya Mikol HaRotzes. So the Pashup Shat is, Eretz Yisrael is the highest elevation above sea level. It's not true. This Mesabbos is higher than Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara says, Yerushalayim is Gevayim, we call Eretz Yisrael, the Kamtam, the Alisa, the Amokim. When the brothers are shuttling back and forth, Achi Yosef, they're traveling back and forth, and when they went down to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayeda Achi Yosef, Asora. When they came back to Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vayalu. The Gemara says, you see, the Eretz Yisrael, Gevayim, we call Harotzis. And then it says, Kipol Mim Chadova La Mishpat, Ve Kamtam, the Alisa, the Amokim, Shigot Yerushalayim, the Kamtam, the Alisa, because Yerushalayim, Gevayim, we call Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara itself says that it's not true, that Ein Itim is higher than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So there's a famous Balamor in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chof in Midbeis, where the Malabor interprets that the Gemara is discussing where the international dateline should be. So the Balamor explains the earth is a globe. He's interpreting the Gemara. Gemara knew that the earth is a globe. In the globe you have two hemispheres. So we divided, you have an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere, with the equator in the middle. Or we have the Western Hemisphere, where the modern countries are, and the Eastern Hemisphere, where the backwards countries are. The progress is always in the West. But in the Gemara, you have two different hemispheres. You have the one hemisphere where Eretz Yisrael, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what was on top? Well, so we always visualize the North Pole is on top. There's the North Pole. You can just as well say the South Pole is on top. I was born in Scranton. Maybe Scranton is on top. What should be on top? What was on top when the Rebbe Shalom created the world? What's the difference? COVID. What's the difference? No, the difference is, where is the first hemisphere? Whatever is on top, when the Rebbe Shalom pushed the button and the earth started turning on its axis, so the international dateline by Hiera Vaveka is going to be 6 hours to the east of the international dateline, and going to be 6 hours to the east of that central location. So that's what the Gemara says. At the time of Bria Sa'olam, Yerushalayim is Gevayim Mikol Harotzis. Gevayim Mikol Eretzol. Now it's all Gevayim Mikol Harotzis. It doesn't mean highest elevation above the sea level. It means when the Baruch Shalom created the world, Yerushalayim is on top, and Eretz Yisrael was on top. So the dateline is 6 hours to the east of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chazon Ish has a long essay about the dateline. So he claims the dateline cuts through Korea, it cuts through Australia. And then you're left with the Shilas. So you mean half of Korea is Friday, half of Korea is Shabbos. To the west of the dateline is going to be Shabbos and the same landmass. And then two-thirds of Australia is to the east of the dateline is going to be Friday, and the one-third to the west is going to be Shabbos. So he deals, the Pasuk can deal with that. But the whole discussion begins with that Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chof Amud Beis, because the Gemara knew that Yerushalayim is not the highest location in Eretz. They knew Eretz is not the highest location above sea level. So when the Gemara says that Eretz Gevay Mikol Haratz is Yerushalayim Gevay Mikol Eretz Yisrael, it didn't mean above sea level. It meant what was on top when the Rebbe Shalom created the world and everything started turning on its axis. So what was the first place in the world? That was by Yerav Aivaka. That was 6 hours to the east of Eretz Yisrael, east of Yerushalayim, Shams to cut through Korea. There's much more in the Sedra. It's a rich, every Sedra is very rich. There's a lot of drushes of Torah Shemalpeh. Okay, we should all be mamshech, a good gebenshtyor.